it started to, you know. Praise God. Let's give God glory for what he's doing. Be excited. Be excited. Stay excited. Be united. You're all invited. I'll stop right there, but that's pretty good. That's enough to make a cut. So go ahead and be seated in Jesus' mighty name. We'll see where the Spirit of God wants to go with the time that we have remaining. I purpose to get you out of here by noon. And everybody said, all right. Don't be so enthusiastic. Not that got your excitement up. That piqued your interest and curiosity. It's like, hey. Okay, so as I was sharing, go with me to Isaiah chapter 48. When you get there, say amen. If you need more time, just say, give me a few more minutes, I'll get there. Is it in the old covenant or new? Jesus. Buy into everything that God is doing. How many of you remember what the word one accord means? What it's talking about? Same passion. Same what? Feel? Zeal. Ardor. That's a good word. Intense. Everybody say intense. You know, we have... Father, first of all, we thank you for the opportunity, the privilege of being able to break the bread of life with your sons and daughters, those that are in-house and those that are watching live stream, either Facebook Live or Ustream. We thank you for that audience. We welcome them into our fellowship today, and that you will speak to their hearts even as you speak to our hearts here. And the same anointing, the same power, the same presence will penetrate the airwaves to where they are. And what you do here, you'll do there. And what you do there, you'll do here. Because you are the same God. Grant breakthroughs. Grant healings. Grant miracles, signs, and wonders that follow and confirm your word. For your word is forever settled in heaven. It will not change. It will not alter. It's good for us today as it was for them back in that time. So we thank you for the privilege and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. First, let's look at Isaiah 48, verse 10. And I think I'm just going to stick to this because I do purpose to have you to be done within a short amount of time. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. I'm going to take just a little bit of a side trip, but you know, just because we as believers, and even prior to, just because we were in a mess, it didn't alter or change the heart and mind of God. He loved us so much in whatever state and condition that we were in or are in currently. He still loves us, and his salvation is for everyone. Not everyone is going to get saved, and Dad knows that. When I say Dad or God, you know who I'm talking about. He knows everybody is not going to get saved, but his heart and his love and his desire is for every man to get saved, male and female, if you will, to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth, to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, to live a life that is free from sin, free from the influence of the world, free from the devil, you know, that God gives us that abundant life. And he wants the abundant life to begin the day we get born again. It's not just when things are going good, it's even when things are going bad. And so even in the furnace of affliction, dad is not like, okay, well, I better, you know, because of what they're dealing with or what they're going through, I better. It's like, no, he chose you because he loves you. And the furnace of affliction is no indication that he's not there. Going through difficult times is no indication that God ain't nowhere around you. The Father will let us go through things just like he lets the world go through things. The only difference is he'll be there with us. Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, and Daniel, these four Hebrew boys that were brought from their homeland into a system and into a country that was filled with idolatry, abominations, things that displeased God, but nevertheless God said that they would be brought captive to them. And they were. Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, you know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had character, impeccable character. It was godly character. It was God that made their character impeccable. They believed in the truth of God's word. They lived it in the land that they were raised up in. And when they were taken from their native land and brought into this wicked land, if you will, or this land of darkness, if you will, or this land of idolatry, if you will, whatever you think about Babylon, it wasn't a good place to be. It was a system, and it is a spiritual system today that existed. It's the area of Iraq, if you will. And, you know, they were doing all sorts of things, but there was money, there was power, there was wealth. Nebuchadnezzar was king at that time, and he had dominion over everything. His rule spread around the world, if you will. They had money, they had wealth, but they did not have God. Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, they, when they were taken from their native land, they had God with them then. And as they're crossing over, coming over into Babylon, they had God with them there. To the point that when they, Babylon, tried to impose upon them Babylonian ways, they refused to bow. They refused to give in. The way they were brought up, that's what they stayed with. And so even when you had the guard coming in to bring, I'll call him a guard, but he has another title. When he brought food to them, they were like, we don't eat this stuff. This stuff is not good for us. This is not a part of our meal, our diet. We have to eat, but we don't eat this stuff. These are the king's delicacies. These are not what are prescribed for us as children of God. So we're not going to eat this stuff. And the guard is like, if you don't eat this, somebody's going to get in trouble. Somebody's head is going to roll. You don't eat this, the king is going to look and see that you're malnourished and all, and, you know, I'm going to be in trouble. They're like, tell you what, let's take a period of time. You let us eat what we're supposed to eat. And if at the end of, how many days was it? 10 days. If at the end of 10 days our countenance has changed in the sense that we look bad, then we'll start eating your stuff. But if we're okay, then you leave us alone. And so at the end of that time period, their countenance was brighter. They were cheery. Cheeks were chunky and stuff. They looked like some healthy, you know, teenagers, if you will. And so they didn't bow. Amen. They held fast. You can read it for yourself. They held fast to what they learned and were brought up in under the teachings of God. They did it in their own land, and then they did it in the land that they were brought to in captivity. They didn't fear for their lives, if you will. They wanted to hold fast to what they believe in. So Babylon is outside these doors, and you're being fed food that does not coincide with the system out there. And you have to choose which food you're going to live by. Are you going to live by this food that you receive or the food that's out there in Babylon? Food being word, teaching, instructions, if you will. Make sense? Because the world has their food, the world has their teachings and all. But what are you going to live by? Daniel, them, they lived by the word that they were brought up, raised up in. And they care, even though they were in a foreign land, even though they were in captivity, nevertheless, they held to it. Point being that in doing so, how many of you know they honored God in that? But nevertheless, when it came down to it, because they wouldn't bow the knee, they were thrown, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, were thrown into the fiery furnace, and God let them go there. He let them go there. But they just stood up for him. They just, you know, they put their, and God would let them. Not only did God let them go into the fiery furnace, but God went into the furnace with them. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never abandon you. He will always be with you everywhere you go. You can be in a bad situation and God is still there with you. And that bad situation has to bow the knee to his purpose and plan, and you will come out without smelling like smoke. Your hair will not be singed. You won't even look like you've been in that fiery furnace. Daniel, because he was diligent in prayer, they saw, aha, we got something on him. He prays 3 times a day. So now, O king, establish a decree. No praying to any other god during this time period. What does Daniel do? The day they call it, the day they decree it, what does Daniel do? Go to his normal place of prayer. What was that? Open the curtain. He didn't say that. You know, I don't know how you prayed in the Hebrew language, if you will, but he went and prayed to his God right in the window where his adversaries were looking to see if he was going to do anything, because they knew that was his custom. But that's what he learned in his homeland. And so just because he's in a foreign land doesn't mean he abandons what he learned in his homeland. Are we getting something here? We don't abandon what we receive from God. We don't abandon the truths that come from his word in order to conform to the world that's out there. No, we stand our ground, our spiritual authority and power that is given to us in Christ Jesus. So we don't bend, we don't bow, we don't curve, if you will. So Daniel, he opened the curtain. I'm still going to do what my custom is. I don't care what kind of decree you have. And so Daniel prays. And they go and they tell on him. Daniel's doing what he's glorifying God. And so because he did that, they threw him in the lion's den. Dad let him go into the lion's den. Dad could have stopped the heart of the king. God, Dad could have made him reverse the decree. But he didn't. He let him go in the lion's den. What's the point? He's not choosing you because of an affliction or fire. He's choosing you because he loves you. And just because you may find yourself in a difficult place, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you, and it doesn't mean that he's not with you. As a matter of fact, he gets in there with you. And something's going to happen that's going to bring glory and honor to him. You're not going down in defeat unless you abandon the things that you learned in the homeland. So, we hold fast to the things we learned in the homeland. So, what happens? They throw him into the lion's den. Dad moves on the king's heart. The king's up all night. He don't know what to pray. All he knows is, protect Daniel, protect Daniel, protect Daniel. They tricked me, they deceived me, but protect Daniel. How was that the lion's den? Who was the first one at the lion's den that morning? Anybody know? Who was? Yeah, somebody said the king. Daniel, servant of the Most High God, is all well. He didn't say that, you know, probably in that tone, but it was something like that. All is well, O king. The Lord sent an angel. He stopped the mouths of the lions. Daniel's sleeping on the lion's mane and stuff, and he's just relaxing. He's got one foot on one of the lion's heads and the other foot on the lion's, you know, and he's just sitting there and he's just relaxing with a bunch of hungry lions that have not eaten. But Dad's right there with him. He don't abandon you. He don't leave you. Just because difficult times come, don't get moved by the difficulties. Don't get moved by the pressure. Don't get moved by the adversity. Don't get moved by the storm. Don't get moved by the circumstances. These things are subject to change, and most of all, they're subject to the authority of God's word. We rejoice in crises. Well, that's what we're striving for. We're striving for what Peter them did. What did Peter them do? They threw Peter and James in jail. And they didn't do nothing but go and preach in the name of Jesus. They just went out and preached in his name. And they're like, don't preach in that name no more. You know, whether we ought to obey you or obey God, you judge. And they didn't get the clue, so Peter had to, we ought to obey God rather than man. But they got thrown in prison. They got set free in prison. Dad was with them right there in the prison. Dad's with you in every situation and circumstance. Can you say amen? He's with you. So, behold, I have refined thee, perfected thee. You know what refiner's fire is all about? It's to burn out the impurities, if you will. It's to make you solid, complete. You know, it's like genuine, if you will. Purging out the dross and the stuff, the impurities that contaminate so that the real value and the real you can come forth shining bright, if you will, for the glory of God. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. One great leader once said, a man, you know, the true character of a man is not revealed when everything is going well, but it's when he's in the fire, that's male or female. When they're in the fire, that's when the true character of the individual is revealed. Don't be afraid of the fire. Don't be afraid of the fiery trials. Don't be afraid of the tests. Don't be afraid of the adversities. Don't be afraid of going through stuff because you're just passing through. Hallelujah. Enjoy the ride. Treat it like it's Disneyland. Praise God. One of your favorite rides. This one's got a big drop on it. Woo! Praise God. That's a drop. Woo! Woo! I don't know if I'll be able to handle that drop. And then you just enjoy it. Yeah. Praise God. You didn't do that? I used to do that. Y'all didn't like drop zone? I like drop zone. Praise God. I'm too old for drop zone, but I'm still new in Christ Jesus. This body might be not be able to handle that fall. I would do it if I was at the amusement park. I just have no desire to go to those parks anymore. But I would do it just because, you know, the fun of it, the thrill of it, if you will. So treat it like a thrill. Treat adversity like a thrill. What did they do? When they got out, they went, Lord, you would think after getting out of jail, Peter and James, and them, you would think that after getting out of jail, after being beaten and all, because they're preaching Jesus, that they would say, you know what, man, praise God. They don't want us here, so let's just go somewhere else. But they went with the saints. They got together. They shared with them everything that happened. Learn from this. This is in your Bible. They went and shared about everything that had happened, and then they prayed. And one of the things they prayed was that the Lord would give them boldness to go out and do the very things that got them in trouble the first time. Isn't that something? Lord, give us boldness to speak your word by stretching forth your hand with signs and wonders in the name of your holy child, Jesus. Oh, praise God. They're still preaching the name. They're telling, don't preach no more in that name. Not only did they preach in his name, but when they confronted them, they're telling you're the ones that murdered him. You, the Romans, you know, you guys are the one that murdered the prince of life, if you will. Repent and you can get saved. So they went through all of that, and that was still with them. Okay, now let's get to the point. I got 12 minutes to give you what I believe the Spirit of God wants to share. In Isaiah chapter 48, verse 16, we'll start there. Come ye near unto me. Everybody say, draw near. Come ye near unto me. Hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. Now, let me give you a sneak peek in case you don't know who's speaking. Of course, we know we're dealing with Isaiah the prophet, and the prophet is only speaking that which he hears. But what he's hearing now is not the Father and not the Holy Ghost, but he's hearing Jesus. We believe in the Blessed Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Three persons, but one God. One Godhead. Hard for some people to fathom or to understand, but by faith we see it. And by faith we believe it. And by faith it all makes godly sense. You think about it. God had to die for our sins. He's the only one who could save us. He's the only one who could design the plan of salvation for us. And he's the only one who can resurrect us. Now, God being dead, if God is dead, if God is dead, he's not alive. And if he's the one that holds all things together, if he's the one that created the heavens and the earth and everything exists by him, for him, and through him, if he's dead, guess what happens to all of creation? He's the one that holds everything together. And the only reason that so many things go on, whether it be meteors and stuff like that, I believe personally, or whether it be earthquakes and famines, if you will, all of those things go on as a result of sin, the fall of mankind. The floods that we see, it's not climate change. Don't let them, you know, hoodwink you with that kind of stuff. Climate change, the world will end in 12 years. They still haven't convinced me that the world is billions of years old. Or millions, whatever. I don't care what science says. I don't care how many facts they know. Just as surely as you have a scientist that says climate change is real, we can find a scientist that says climate change is nothing but a fabrication. And they both have their facts. What's true? Let God be true and every scientist be a liar. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Everything's going God's way. We got the word. We got the book. We know how everything ends. We win. That's why we're on his side. He's for us and not against us. And we serve him gladly, graciously, boldly. Hallelujah. For his glory. We live for him. Why? Because when it's all said and done, we're going to have to stand before him and give an account. I want to hear those good words. Praise Jesus. So he says, come near unto me. This is Jesus speaking to the prophet Isaiah. Come ye near. If we don't believe it, you'll find that Jesus, not only after he ascended on high, Jesus also came and manifest himself back in the earth again. Now, I think it was Josephus, I think it was, whichever one wrote the Book of Martyrs. It might have been another individual, but I can't think of his name. the story goes that Peter was getting ready to leave Rome. And as Peter is walking out of Rome, here comes Jesus walking into Rome. And Peter recognizes Jesus. And so Peter says, Lord, where are you going? And he says, I'm going to be crucified. And then Peter understood that he was not to leave Rome, but to go back to Rome and to go the way that it was said he would go. Jesus told him, right now you go where you want to go, but there's going to come a time where you're going to be taken to where you don't want to go. That was that time. He wasn't ready to give up his life. And Jesus is like, no, this is it. And he went back and he was crucified, if you will. Jesus manifests himself to Paul when he was hit with that light and he went down and he heard the voice of Jesus and he's like, who art thou, Lord? And what did the Lord say? He didn't say, I am Jehovah. He didn't say, it's the Spirit of God. He says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. So Jesus has manifest himself on the earth, even after his ascension to be at the right hand of the Father. God can do anything and everything that he wants to do. Okay. So Jesus has manifested himself at various times. So he's talking to Isaiah in his pre-carnate stage before he comes in bodily form, if you will. He is now speaking, saying, come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From that time it was, from the time that it was, there am I, and now the Lord God and his Spirit have sent me. Who sent him? The Lord God and his Spirit. So here we have Jesus speaking now. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, here we go, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Now, this is for the people of God, not just for Isaiah's time, but for our time as well. And something that we need to see is, one, God teaches us to profit. And then, two, he leads us in the way that we should go. Paul said it like this, they that are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. The Holy Ghost does not come to lead you while you're still given over to the flesh or walking in the indulgence and the influence of the flesh. That will prevent you from being led by the Spirit of God. It is contrary. It is the old nature, the sinful nature. It is the nature that we inherited from Adam. But God, when we get born again, gives us his divine nature. And we are to cultivate and develop it. Not that the divine nature needs developing. It's our lives need to adjust and adapt to the divine nature living within us. And it brings an end to the old man and a hello to the new man. Praise God. Hallelujah. New sheriff in town. Praise God. Fresh from heaven. Calling strikes. Declaring the truth of God's word to you. Ready to fulfill God's will, the hope of his calling. Amen. So we have the divine nature now. And so what we do is, as Peter said, we add to our faith. So we start to grow. We don't just settle for what's been given to us on our plate. We start to eat what's on our plate. And we start to let the nourishment that comes from what we eat to develop the character and nature of God on the inside of us so that we're not just walking in the old man. We're now walking in the new man in Christ Jesus. And the new man in Christ Jesus is just like Jesus. When you allow the new man to be developed fully, that's what Paul was talking about, that we arrive to. Arrive is my word. The measure, the stature, and the fullness of Christ. When? Now. While we are yet in these bodies, people are to be seeing more of Christ and less of the world that he has delivered us from. Yeah. And everything is kingdom mind, kingdom oriented. Everything is all about the kingdom. That's all you talk about is the kingdom. All you talk about is God. You know, you might say that to somebody else who all they do is talk about God. But that's all they live for. That's all they know. That's all that it's really all about. Because if all I'm going to do is talk about the world, guess what? I'm going to be worldly and I will not be able to walk in the things of God. I will not be able to walk in the fullness of what God has ordained and purposed for me because I choose to live like the life that he's delivered me from. Just because everybody else wants to live that life doesn't mean that you have to follow that life. You live the life that God has ordained for you. You only get that through the revelation of his word and by his spirit. Amen? Okay, so here we go. He says, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. And so when we look at the definition of the word profit, let me go ahead. You got it in your post, in your bulletin. But it's the Hebrew word ya'al. Wouldn't you know something dumb just came up? I shouldn't say dumb. I should not say dumb. Oh, I know what it is. This is taking me to a whole different something about these softwares. It's taking me to a different commentary and all. But it comes from the Hebrew word ya'al. I think I have it down here. Yes, down at the bottom, the last paragraph. He is the God who teaches us the prophet. The Hebrew word for prophet is ya'al. Y'all. If you want to go southern with it, y'all. Ya'al, which means to ascend and to be valuable. And so Wednesday night, as I was sharing with you, you know, going higher and all, it may sound strange, it may sound weird, and it's like, how do you go in one direction? Well, how does a horse, you know, it's led by its head, if you will, and our head is at the right hand of the Father, but we lift up and we just go up in the things of the Spirit. We allow the Spirit of the living God to take us higher than where we currently are, because on this level and on this plane, we see chaos, confusion, and disorder, but up there, we see divine order. Jesus said, when you pray after this manner, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Kingdom, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost, kingdom, not in word only, but in power, if you will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth like it is in heaven. So we want to see how things are going on up in heaven. Hallelujah. It's like we want to take a peek up there to see, Dad, what's going on? We want to have understanding. Spirit of the living God, reveal the word of truth. Reveal what is the will of God concerning me this day? What is it that God wants to accomplish this day? Holy Ghost, you got to go up for that. You can't expect to get it just on this level plane. You can't just expect to get it just coming in and just attending church. No, you got to be the church. You got to become who you are in Christ Jesus. You have to show some effort. You got to treat this the treasure of God's word like silver and gold, precious gems. Even Paul likens it to that when he talks about the believer, that you know that the teachers have to be careful in laying the foundation in the lives of the believers, you know, because he may sow and some of that stuff may be hay stud and wobble. Who, praise God, hay stud and it's not wobble. Praise God, rubble, I think it is. It's something like that. But hay stud, hay, wood, you know, straw, wood, and stubble, that's what it is. And so it may be something that will easily be burned up in the fire, but what God gives are precious gems that don't, you know, melt in the fire, but are refined by the fire, if you will. And so it's like you have to be careful in what you're sharing with the people of God, because you're considered of great value in the things of God. And so he says, let every man be careful how he lays that foundation, because one day we're going to stand before God. And he's like, some of us are going to be disqualified for the things that we taught, the things that we imparted, the things that we released. We didn't release the true gems of God. We released what made people feel good. And when you're making people feel good, something's wrong. Making them feel blessed, that's one thing. But making them feel good means I'm stroking you. I'm stroking your flesh because your flesh, well, yeah, make me feel good. Yeah. And it's like, no, you're going to be made to feel uncomfortable because you got to come out of your comfort zone. Because your comfort zone will keep you the same place and the same person that you were, that you are now washed and regenerated to come into the newness of God that is in Christ Jesus. I hope I'm making sense to you. Attitude, everything got to go. You saw that when we were singing, there is a current, dot, 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 deep inside, it's overflowing from the heart of God, dot, dot, dot. I may not be saying the words right, but you know what I mean. Bursting, burst. And they had the picture of that water flowing. And you know what water does? Water washes, water cleanses. And so even the water, the word comes to wash and cleanse and rid us of impurities because God wants us to be pure. Now, who can ascend into the holy hill of God? The psalmist says this, and it's in your post. He that has clean hands and a pure heart and has not been lifted, his soul has not been lifted up in vanity. In other words, he has no pride about himself or herself, if you will. And we're talking about ascending. God does expect us to ascend. He expects us to live higher, on a higher plane, a higher level of life than when we did when we were dead in trespasses and sins. His salvation is greater than that. And anybody that will be comfortable with letting you live a sinful lifestyle, they ain't right for you. No, we come up to the higher level. We come up to the higher standard. We come up to God. Not that we are God or trying to replace God, but we come up to his standard, his righteousness, if you will. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We'll think that we're a good person and all of our good deeds will justify us and God will save us because of our good deeds. And it's like your good deeds are like filthy rags to me. You can't even compare or compete to what I have done for you. I've done it myself. My son died. God the Son died. God the Father seated on high. God, the Holy Ghost, descends and raises him up from the dead. Why did Jesus say that he would raise himself? Because he did. He said, I'm God. I'm God the Son. So we have God the Father, we have God the Son, we have God the Holy Ghost. The three are one. Stand to your feet. I got to stop. 5 minutes over. Just getting started. Stand to your feet. Chew on that. Chew on that. Chew on that. Read the post. It's got some more stuff in there. I could expound on it, but we'll be here till 12:30, and I want you out, you know. Get out. Go home. No. Praise God. I want you to do me a favor. With the exception of the ushers at the door, sound people at the sound booth, but you will all join in agreement with us. I want you just to come up across the front. Just come up and line up across the front, all of you. Don't be afraid. No, not yet. Not yet. Not yet. Y'all stay tuned. Y'all stay tuned. And if you, because you are there, I don't know how many of you are there, but if you are there and you still are there, stand on your feet right now. Let's honor and reverence King Jesus. Glory. Glory to God. Yeah. I'm gonna share something with you. When you're sitting in different sections and things like that, it's as if you're scattered. But when you come together, you are a united front. And the more you close the gap, the less entrance the enemy has to come in and divide, kill, steal, and destroy. You're the army of the living God. You're not pretending to be the army of the living God. You are God's finest. You are God's best. You are what God has to offer the world to save them and the devil to crush him. Yeah. 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 You're blessed going somewhere to happen. Hallelujah. It's only 12:07. It's only 12:07. Now, if you're saved, then I want you to stand in agreement for anybody who may be watching live stream or anyone in this room who may not be saved, that they'll give their lives to Jesus Christ right now. And then after that, after we pray that prayer of salvation, Then we're going to pray that they be baptized with the Holy Ghost with biblical evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. That's what God wants for all of his children. Peter said, as to as many as the Lord our God shall call. So every person that is called or summoned, every person that repents of their sin and receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Jesus said, it is necessary, it is expedient that I go, because if I don't go, the helper won't come. He sent the helper that he would be with us and he would be in us. And the way we know that he's in us is by that mighty baptism with the Holy Ghost. That's what they waited for in the upper room. That's what they prayed 10 days straight for. And he came and he did not disappoint. I said he came and he did not disappoint. Brother Deontay, you know I love you. You're my spiritual son in the faith. You're not the only one. But you know God has great things in store for you. That example, thank you for letting me use it, even though I didn't ask your permission. But I need you to see God is coming from one side and he's coming from the other side to bless you. Yeah. And it's obedience. See, it's the goodness of God that draws you to him. But it's you growing in faith that sustains you. It's you being mature. It's you taking that position. It's you being that man of God that God called you to be. He's just letting you know. He's courting you. He's like, I want more of you. I want so much of you that there's no more of you, and it's all of me. And I say that to you, but I speak through you to every man that's in line. Hallelujah. Praise God. You are blessed, man. You got three sons. You named your first two after the prophet God gave to you and your wife. And then God let you, gave you liberty to name your third son after you. And then gave you a daughter to take after mama. Oh, praise God, you're a blessed man. You ain't the only one. I'm just pointing you out, singling you out, as dad showing his goodness towards you. Yeah, and it ain't just you, because see, you're going to one day, you and Sister Maria, you're going to have your own home that you own, and Manny going to say, Daddy, this is my room. That's your room, man. And ain't nobody coming in here to tell us we got to go anywhere. That's your room. Ezekiel, that's your room. And Deontay Jr., that's your room. And Zaylee, this is your room.
Daddy, I got my own room. Ah, Daddy's so good. I love Daddy.
Yeah. 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 One company, God speaks to two people concerning you. Who does that? Now, whether he gives you something at Chevron or whether he does something else, he got something big because Chevron pay good. They pay good. They pay real good. They got good benefits too. But it's something that's coming like that in a package. Yeah. And he's wanting to do that. He wants a prophet. He wants you to go high. He wants you to ascend. Remember, you all ascend. The other thing he said is to be valuable. To ascend, to go up, and also to be valuable. See, the higher we go up in God, the more valuable we become to him. Let me say it again. I got one hallelujah. Let's see if we can get the rest of them, Sister Lauren. You might want to touch the people to your left and to your right and may have a chain reaction. The higher we go in God, the more valuable we become to him. Yeah. We become more like Christ. He doesn't want to see us. Our lives are hidden in God in Christ. When Christ appears, then we will appear. But for right now, our bodies is not even on loan. We've been bought. Hallelujah. We have been bought. So we glorify God with our body. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's the house of God. 1793 and 1787 is not the house of God. We are the house of God. This place takes on a different form when we come into this building because of who we are and whose we are. Amen? All right. Come on. Father, we just thank you right now. We pray for anyone that is watching, if they're not saved, anyone in this building, if they're not saved. We even pray for the people next door that salvation, Lord God, the conviction of the Holy Ghost will come upon their hearts and they would see the need to be saved. Father, we don't condemn them for what they're doing. They only do what the world knows to do. They're entertaining themselves. But Lord, we pray, even if there are Christians over there, that the Christians will be emboldened with power from on high. And if none of them are saved, we pray for the salvation of their souls. We pray for the salvation of the souls of the people that are in this business complex. We pray for the salvation attention of those that are watching live stream, no matter where they are, that even right now they're surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Even right now, they're starting to, Lord God, see things from your perspective. Even right now, Lord God, the spirit of conviction, the conviction of the Holy Ghost that convicts of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, that's coming upon them even now, not to condemn them, but to save them. And we pray right now that you'll join in with this simple prayer. If you can hear my voice, this simple prayer, pray with me and be sincere. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We ask you to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. And according to your word, and according to our faith, we are now saved. Lord Jesus, come into our lives. Live inside of us. Make us a new creation. Take away the old things. Take away the old desires. Take away the lust. Take away the burdens. Break every yoke that has snared my life. Deliver me from all my enemies. I want to serve you. I want to glorify you. I don't want to sin anymore. I want to live for you as you show me how. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for rescuing me. And now, Lord, baptize me with the Holy Ghost and with fire from on high. Give me my heavenly language that I may pray in the power of the Holy Ghost. In your name, amen. And if you believe, and if you receive, open up your mouth, lift up your hands, and release the heavenly language that is coming out of your belly even now. Lord, let your fire and glory come upon your people. Let your fire and glory come upon this land. Let your fire and glory touch the lives of the sinners, that the sinners will be set free. Father, for every believer that is at this altar, we pray that for you will strengthen them. And with holy visitations and dreams and visions, you will visit them, that their lives are never the same before. Give them an appetite for you, Dad. Give them an appetite for you, Dad. Give them an appetite for you, Dad. Give them a desire to want to go higher. Give them a desire to want to profit according to your word. You want us to ascend. You want us to go higher. You want us to be more valuable, more precious, more costly, more pricey unto you, Lord God. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, let fire and glory take over the lives of your people like never before. And everybody said, amen. Thank you very much. You may give one another a high five. You can return to your seats. We'll do the benediction. The Lord our God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. His name be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, so that the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell, because you're the church of the living God, pillar and ground of truth, foundation, mainstay, prop and supporter of the truth. The Lord be with you everywhere you go. Bless the works of your hands. Order your steps, direct your path, guide you with this eye into his perfect will and plan. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. We'll be back here at 6 p.m. at the altar to pray. You're welcome to come. You can tell somebody as well. Have a blessed rest of this Sunday and have a supernatural week in Jesus. Amen.